book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. Book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox come, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work." Like that. For the people had a mind to work. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, bless thy word to our hearts. Bless now my feeble efforts. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. It was the Apostle Peter who we read earlier, a man who suffered under Satan's sifting like none other. If you remember in the Gospels, how often he had suffered with Satan's temptation. If you remember when the Lord was telling him or asking them who they thought he was, and it was Peter who said, "Thou art Christ." And he said, "My Father has revealed that unto you." And it wasn't five verses later, and Peter tries to stop our Lord from going to Calvary, and he rebukes Satan through Peter. You remember when the Lord said, "Satan desired to sift thee as wheat, but I prayed for your faith." Remember when he denied the Lord three times? So Peter was a man who suffered under Satan's sifting like none other. It was he who exhorts all true believers to be sober-minded, to be vigilant and steadfast in the faith when resisting or withstanding the devil. Like we read earlier in 1 Peter chapter 5. A threefold exhortation. And we need all three of them. And yet these same divine virtues, sober-mindedness, vigilance, watchfulness, and steadfast in faith, are essential for all opposition and adversaries. Not just our enemy, Satan. But every opposition that we face as Christians, every adversary we face as Christians, must always and should always be met with that threefold exhortation. Sober-mindedness, vigilance, and a steadfastness in faith. Why is that so? Well, the sober-minded believer will exercise much discretion. That's what sober-mindedness means. Discernment. He'll exercise a lot of discretion and self-control when facing great opposition. One of the greatest problems we have when we face opposition, we don't have enough self-control. We don't use discretion. We don't think. We live in a generation of believers today that are thinkless or thoughtless. They act without thinking about what they're doing. If we would take a minute and think before we act in doing something, beloved, that would save us a lot of heartaches and troubles. We need to get ourselves into the practice of thinking before we act. That's a biblical principle. And most Christians have a lack of doing that. A negligence of thinking before they act. How often we told our children when they were growing up, "If you would think before you speak..." How often we say it to ourselves, and we would think before we'd speak, we wouldn't get so much trouble. So sober-mindedness, a believer is going to exercise much discretion and self-control when he's facing opposition. He won't lose it. Okay? You remember Luke 14, the parable of the wise builder and the king who went to war? This is the wise builder sitteth down first. See, sit us down first, self-control, and count at the cost. What's he doing? He's sober-minded. He sits down first, and he counts the cost. The wise king sitteth down first, self-control, and consulteth. You see that? It's a biblical principle. And it's hard for us to do that, especially facing opposition, because we want to react immediately. We want to do something immediately rather than taking the time to think about what we're doing. We're learning this from Nehemiah. It took him 3 months to get there. When he gets there, he doesn't immediately go to work. He waits 3 days. And after 3 days, what's he do? He gets up in the middle of the night and he walks around the building. He surveys the trouble and the ruins. He thinks about it. He counts the cost. We need to have that same self-control, that same discretion when facing our oppositions and our adversaries. I love Ecclesiastes. There's a chance to really just read that through a few times and just pray over it. It's right after Proverbs. It's a blessed book. Ecclesiastes says this: a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. A wise man's heart discerneth, sober-mindedness, both time, when, and judgment. How? And God calls on us to do that. Think first before you do something. Don't react immediately. This is what the Lord meant when, or showed us in the book of Exodus when He brought the Israelites to the Red Sea, and they had the Red Sea in front of them, they had mountains on the side of them, and Egypt driving hard on their back tails. And God said, be still and know that I'm God. Think about it. We need to be sober-minded. Secondly, a vigilant believer will ever be watchful and alert. That's what vigilant means. Not valiant. He said, be vigilant. Vigilant is watching, being alert, always cautious, always aware, always thinking, what will my actions produce? If I do this, what might be the outcome of this? We think about the consequences of it. Beloved, this is vitally important for us in our daily lives, but more so when we're facing opposition, like Nehemiah was. Try to consider. Now, we don't know always the outcome or the circumstance or the consequences, but we should try to sit down and figure out what the consequences might be of our actions. I like what an old preacher said one day, and it's true. If a man or woman would consider the consequences of adultery, the majority of them would not enter into it. What's the consequences? I lose my children. I lose my life. I lose my family. I lose my good character. I lose so much that they don't stop to think about what they're doing. And then after they've done it, they bear the consequences. Believers must learn to be vigilant. Watch. Be alert. Shake off all carnal and sinful security. Don't think, well, I have it made. I've apprehended. We don't do that. We must take the utmost heed lest sin or Satan or the world should deceive, overcome, or hurt us. And every true believer knows that. I'm never safe in this world. I'm never secure. I always have to be vigilant. Because as soon as I let my guard down, bam! He's talking earlier about drinking and how people who used to be alcoholics, it only takes one beer. Only takes one drink. They're ensnared again. That's why we always have to be, as believers, we have to be vigilant, always alert, always watching, always assessing, thinking about our actions. What are consequences are they going to bring? We have to be careful lest we're overcome by sin, by the world, or Satan. And so we're vigilant. Our Lord said it is by watching and praying that we are kept from entering. Remember? Watch and pray that ye enter not. See? The watching and prayer comes before the danger of entering. So, it's not watching and praying after it's already happened. It's watching and praying before, or so that I don't enter into temptation. So, we have to be vigilant all the time. I like what Benjamin Franklin said. Listen to this. Wonderful quote. He said, they that are on their guard and appear ready to receive their adversaries are in much less danger of being attacked than the indifferent, secure, and negligent. End of quote. I like that. Those that are on their guard and appear ready to receive their adversaries, they're prepared,
are in much less danger of being attacked
than those that are indifferent, secure, and negligent. If we're alert and we know the thief is coming, we won't get robbed. Remember that? If the watchman knew the thief was coming, he would be watchful. It's a biblical principle. So we have to be sober-minded. We have to be vigilant. And thirdly, the believer who is steadfast in faith will not waver or be unresolved in his actions, but will be fixed and resolute in his entire course. One of the biggest problems we see amongst Christians today, because of opposition, because of these perils of the last days, because of afflictions and trials and tribulations, they waver. One day they're strong, next day they're weak. They're not resolute in what they do. They're not fixed. We need to be resolute. We need to be fixed. We need to be steady in our course. Steadfast in the faith. It doesn't say just be faithful, but be steadfast in that faith. Don't allow yourself to be moved from your course. Stay your course. And we can only stay our course if we have a sober mind and we're vigilant. You see, those first two things are important. Those first two things are important if we're going to be steadfast in the faith. So we need to have them all. This threefold cord is not quickly broken. Remember Ecclesiastes? But when we unite these three things, it secures the believer of success against every foe. We must exercise all three of these things. They all three belong together, especially when facing opposition. Keep all this in mind as we think about Nehemiah and what he's going through and what we'll be looking at, what he's went through already. We see these characteristics already in Nehemiah, already in the first three chapters. He prays, asks God to prosper him before the king. The king does. He goes to Jerusalem. They start murmuring and complaining about what's happening. They're a little bit fearful and envious about what he's doing. Nehemiah's not moved. He's sober-minded. He's thinking about it. He's vigilant. He's being watchful. He goes out and he assesses things. And then the enemy still rises up and begins to be envious and begins to talk more loud about what's going on. Nehemiah stays resolute in what he's doing. Why? Because he's counted the cost. He's exercised sober-mindedness. He's been vigilant. He continues to be so. So now he's steadfast in the faith. So we built the wall. You see that? We have to learn to exercise these things. Watch ye, 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this. Watch ye, that's vigilance. What vigilance means, watch, alert. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Sounds like Peter, don't it? Quit ye like men. Be strong. That's sober-mindedness. That's what Paul was. Paul says, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. That's what Nehemiah was doing. That's what Nehemiah exercised. That's what we have to exercise. But we lack the patience and the ability and the endurance to do that. And we have to do that. We grow so weary of our Christian life, and we grow so weary under opposition because we don't exercise these things. Abraham Lincoln, another good quote. Listen to this, what he says about this same principle. He said, having thus chosen our course, sounds like Nehemiah, huh? Without guile and with pure purpose, let us renew our trust in God and go forward without fear and with manly hearts. End of quote. Sounds like Nehemiah. Sounds like Peter. Sober-minded, vigilant, having thus chosen our course, without guile, and with pure purpose, let us renew our trust in God and go forward without fear and with manly hearts. See that? We need that threefold exhortation. And we need to learn to practice that. Such qualities were abundant in Nehemiah, enabling him to overcome all opposition, thus proving an example to all believers how we too may overcome all opposition. It's an example unto us, an illustration of that. What did they first try to do? I want you to see how he overcomes this, how we can overcome opposition. I want you to know, first of all, the first step in our overcoming opposition is to keep our hearts and our minds fixed on God and the work that He has set before us. Keep our hearts and minds fixed on God and the work which God has set before us. Nehemiah has determined in his heart,
three chapters. He prayed in chapter 1, God prospered him. Chapter 2, God began prospering him. The king let him come with letters and horsemen and chariots and all that. Nehemiah gets there, he surveys the situation, he assesses the damage, and he's convinced in his mind, this is what I'm going to do. And chapter 4, Nehemiah stays his course. He fixes his heart on God, and he fixes his heart on what God's given him to do. But our adversary will try to get our minds off of that. Look at what they do here in verses 1 and 2. Look at, read this again with me. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, remember we said it was progressive with the enemy? Now they're working. Before they just talked about it. Now they were building the wall. He was wroth. Took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now he's beginning to publicly oppress the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, listen to this, and said, what do these people choose? Will they truly fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the storms out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burnt? What's he trying to do? He's trying to first get them to be discouraged and question their own abilities, their motives, and even their faith. What are you going to do? You've got rubbles here. Are you going to rebuild the wall? What? You're feeble. You're Jews. You can't do this. Beloved, our adversary will always attempt to first weaken our resolution and determination by making us question ourselves, our abilities, and our strength and our weakness. He'll attack the mind and the heart first. You can't do this. You're too weak. You don't have enough faith. There's not enough of you. You're building out of ruins. What are you going to do? How can you raise up a wall out of ruins? Everything's burned and destroyed. You're trying to make something out of something that's already ruined, and you don't have the ability, the talent, the faith, and your motive is wrong. Are you going to sacrifice? Oh, come on, give me a break. And so Satan first attempts our hearts and our minds to discourage us and make us question ourselves, our abilities, God's promises, our faith, our strength, and our weaknesses. Satan is a deceiver. He'll come to us with a sin and he'll say, oh, look at this sin, it's so bad. God's not going to get mad at you for this sin. Go ahead and do it. Everybody sins. It doesn't matter. It's not that big of a sin. And so we fall into his temptation. And then after we fall into temptation and guilt fills our heart, what does Satan do? Satan turns around and plays the accuser. You wicked, evil man. Why did you do that? You see what he does? He plays with our hearts and our minds. That's what he's doing here. These feeble Jews. Fortify themselves, sacrifice, end in the day, revive the stones. They sought to discourage their hearts and their minds before they even when they started the work by questioning their motives and their strengths and their weaknesses. Remember the first question in the Bible? Anybody know what it is? First question in the Bible. Yeah, yeah, God said. Who put that question? The first question in the Bible comes from Satan. And that question is questioning God. Did God really say that? Did he really mean that? See, he starts with the mind. He God didn't really say that. He didn't mean that. It says, Goliath disdained or despised, scorned David. Remember when David came? Because of his youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. Goliath said, oh, come on, you're sending out a punk kid. Who's this guy? Why, this guy's ruddy. He even said he looks good. This guy's a youth, man. He scorned him. He despised him. That's what Satan tries to do. That's what Satan's trying to do with Nehemiah. They begin the work, and Sanballat and Tobiah is beginning to say, even if a fox came up, he'd run through the hole. You guys are too feeble. You can't do it. Be careful that the devil don't play mind games on you. How do I overcome that opposition? The same way as Nehemiah. Nehemiah's already considered the situation. Nehemiah's already counted the cost. Nehemiah's already surveyed the trouble. And Nehemiah's got his heart fixed and set. He's sober-minded, he's vigilant, and he's standing fast in the faith. See that?
Well, if you think Satan won't question you or I, he questioned Eve, he questioned David, but he also questioned Jesus Christ. What did he say in the temptation? Jesus Christ. Remember? If thou be the Son of God, do this. If thou be the Son of God, are you really the Son of God? You see what he does? Satan likes to play mind games. He likes to dishearten us by saying, you can't do this. It's impossible. Too small. You're too weak. There's too much to do. If Satan would question the Son of God himself and his motives, would he not do more so to us? What do you think you're doing? Sober-minded, vigilant, so we can be steadfast in the faith. James said it best when he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I've never seen so many double-minded Christians in all my life. If we're double-minded, if we can't make up our mind, if our hearts and minds aren't fixed on Christ, every opposition is going to weaken us and make us fall and make us question everything we do. And beloved, I've been there before. I'm sure you have. The trials and temptations and afflictions we've faced since coming to America, I've talked to my wife many times, has caused me to sit down and question myself if what I'm doing is right. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We have to be careful that we don't allow Satan to do that. And to overcome that opposition, we have to be sober-minded. We have to use discretion. And we have to have self-control. And we have to be vigilant, watching and praying. Alert. So that we might be steadfast in the faith. Steadfast. So when he does come and tempt our minds and our hearts, we can say, no, I've got it settled in my heart. You know, even Paul, this is amazing, but even Paul in the book of Acts, when he was going to Jerusalem, even the elders at Ephesus said, don't go. And others said, and they said, by the Holy Spirit, Paul, if you go, you're gonna die. You're going to be bound in chains. Paul, don't go. And if you read Acts, some of those said that with the witness of the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, none of these things move me. See that? None of these things move me. If God has given us a course, Satan is going to do everything he can to hinder us from fulfilling that course, from completing that course. And we fall victim to him if we don't exercise that threefold exhortation. Sober-mindedness, vigilance, and steadfastness of faith. If he can get us to doubt, and get disheartened, he's won the battle already. Because our hands have become weak and feeble, and we'll stop working. We'll question everything we do. We'll second guess everything we do. Biblical principle. Listen to this. Therefore, keep your heart with all diligence. You know what Proverbs said? Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. If you lose heart in the matter, you might as well give up. If you lose heart in serving Christ and loving God and reading the Bible and praying, if you lose heart, you might as well give up. You've done lost the battle. That which makes a good soldier is not the armor. The armor is nothing without a soldier, the heart. If you get a soldier that doesn't have heart, he can have the best armor in the world, he's still going to lose. But you let that soldier have heart in what he's doing, and I'm telling you, he'll wield that sword like no other man. That's the key. Keep your heart with all diligence. But not just that. Isaiah said this. Let your mind be stayed on God, which alone can keep you in perfect peace. That will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So you see, the Bible exhorts us to keep our heart and also to keep our mind stayed on God. The heart and the mind. Satan goes at both of them. When we exercise sober-mindedness, we use discretion, we have self-control, and then we exercise vigilance, which is watchfulness and alertness, being aware,
we exercise those two things, then we can be steadfast in the faith. And we can continue no matter who opposes us. Sober-mindedness, vigilance, steadfastness of faith. Beloved, this divine threefold cord is essential for our overcoming discouragements, deceits, temptations, disheartenment, to quit, to leave off, to become disheartened in our service for God. We have to exercise these things if we're going to be successful and triumphant in our Christian life. Just like Nehemiah. Well, how did it help Nehemiah? Listen to this. We read all those things they said. Even if a fox go up and all that. Look in verse 4. Now look what Nehemiah does. Look at his steadfastness of faith. Look at the effects of him having a sober mind, being vigilant, and being steadfast. Listen to this. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Look at the confidence he's got. What's Nehemiah doing? He's reverting back to prayer. You notice throughout the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah always goes back to prayer. Cover not their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Look at that. He turns the situation in prayer over to God. He's determined. Nehemiah is determined. And the Old Testament prophet, when they went out to battle, they said, for the battle's not yours, but the Lord's. Remember what Ezekiel did when he got that letter from the enemies saying, we're going to overtake the walls, we're going to kill everyone? Ezekiel went into the temple, laid the letter before the Lord, and he said, Lord, this is now your problem. I'm not moving. I'm turning this over to you. This is what we do. We're sober-minded, that we're vigilant, we're steadfast in the faith, and then we turn all that over to God in prayer and say, now God, you deal with the situation as we continue to work. I love that. I love how the Scriptures so wonderfully, wonderfully declare that. The sovereignty of God and the servitude and responsibility of man. I love that divine balance. He went back to prayer. He continued instant in prayer. And we'll see that again next week when the opposition increases, even after Nehemiah does that. Then they start, it says, then they start being very wroth and they start to conspire against them. Nehemiah goes right back into prayer. We'll see next week. But I want you to see what happened. He took it in prayer, and in verse 6, so built we the wall. He didn't stop. He didn't discontinue. He didn't become disheartened. He didn't become discouraged. He didn't let Satan get into his mind. He didn't let him get into his heart. He exercised that threefold exhortation, and he was determined. So he built the wall after he prayed. I'm telling you, dear beloved, this is the key. This is the secret. He's determined, but he knows he's dependent upon God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is showing our great dependence upon God. If we're not praying a lot, we're not dependent upon God. We're exercising our own strength. Men and women who pray, prove that they are dependent upon God. Because that's what prayer is. True prayer is showing dependence upon God. I am dependent upon you to do everything in and through me. And yet, when I do pray, Lord, I expect you to let your truth triumph through me. So he prays and they build. He says that also in verse 9 later on. We'll see that next week. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. You see the balance there? We prayed unto God, but we still watched them. I love that. I love that, how God puts those two wonderfully well together. But listen, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. They got half the wall finished. Why? For the people had a mind to work. Now how did the people have a mind? Why does the Scripture say, for the people had a mind to work? Because if we don't have a mind to work, we won't. You know, in a lot of churches today, it's almost as though pastors have to force Christians to do things. Offer them gifts and prizes if they bring in visitors. Make sure that they get applause and make sure that they get seen. They have to do something, in other words, to make Christians themselves do something. These people had a mind to work. That's how a church works. When we all become a mind to work, then we don't have to worry about trying to make somebody do something. It's in our mind to do it. And when that happens, dearly beloved, then we become successful as a church. Nehemiah and his men exercised that threefold core. Sober-mindedness, vigilance, and therefore they were steadfast in the faith. And I pray that we could do the same thing, because we need to do that on a daily basis, but especially facing opposition, we need to exercise those two. Stop and think about it. Use discretion. Be self-controlled. Think about your actions and your consequences. Think about what's going to be the result of them. And then be vigilant. Watch and pray. Be alert. And when we do those two things, then whatever happens, we can be steadfast in the faith. And God will give us a mind to work. And may I pray God give us as a church that mind to work, so that we're not double-minded, that we're not wavering, that we're not unstable, but that we set a course, and believing in God, we finish that course without hesitation. Amen. May God give us grace to do that. We'll see next week, is even though He don't get the wall halfway built, the enemy won't stop. Let me close with this thought. We will be fighting Satan, the world, and sin until the day we die. This battle never stops. Never stops. It's a constant battle for the believer. You say, that's not the kind of life I want. That's the kind of life Christianity is. It's a battle that never stops until we enter into that final rest with Christ. It's a battle we have to fight, and we must win through Christ every day of our life. It'll never cease in this world. No matter how old we get. It can either be a good fight of faith, or it can be a terrible one. It all depends on if we are sober-minded, vigilant, steadfast in the faith, looking into the offering and finish of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a good fight. Fight's a good fight. It's a good fight. It's no better life in the world than to be a Christian. It's the best life in the world. To fight sin and defeat it. Fight Satan and feel that God gives you power and victory over his temptations. To fight against the world and know that it has no influence upon you. Beloved, that's a glorious life to live. But we have to fight against those things constantly. God give us grace to exercise these things. Think about them this week. I pray. I beg of you. Think about it. Sober-minded. Vigilant. Steadfast in faith. And watch how and pray. See how God blesses us and keeps us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. Lord, we thank you that encourages us, even when our hearts are discouraged. Lord, we pray that God, you'd help us to learn from Nehemiah and those few men who built the walls. Opposition rose and kept arising. And yet, Father, they were sober-minded, vigilant, steadfast in the faith, always returning to thee in prayer, knowing that that was the key. Oh, God, I pray, make us men and women of prayer, so that, Lord, all our determination, all our resolution would be anchored in your goodness and your grace, not any merit of our own. Father, those accusations Sanballat made were true, were feeble. We can do nothing without you. But, oh God, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. May we learn the mystery of this blessed church. Help our church, I pray. Help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and always steadfast in the faith. Until that day when you come and call us home and we enter into that final rest. God, we love you and thank you for all things. In Christ's name.